this subject that we're dealing with tonight and probably into, definitely will be next Wednesday as well, unless the rapture occurs, and then we won't have to worry about it. We'll be home with the Lord. Amen. But Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and you might want to read the whole context another time because we'll touch back and forth on that. We're just going to open up with that first verse, and it says, "And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint," that is to surrender or to give up or just throw in the towel. We ought always to pray. Now, we must never forget that as believers, we have a special relationship with God, our Father, through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have, considering all the rest of the world, we have a special, unique relationship with God the Father. You know, the world may pray that disciples' prayer, "Our Father," but he's not their Father. He would love to be their Father, but he's not their Father. The devil is their Father. And Jesus makes that very, very clear in John chapter 8, starting with verse 32, is it, I believe, where it says, "You are of your father, the devil." And he was talking to the religious leaders, who are obviously not men of faith, even though they were, quote unquote, religious in the context of the law. But we know that if you are saved, then you have that special privilege to be able to call him Abba Father. The same way as you may think of your earthly father and call him dad, no one else other than your family, your siblings can call him dad. We all belong to the family of God, and he is our Father. Amen. And he cares for us as a father would care for us. And one of those special blessings is the privilege of calling God Abba Father. And the other blessing is to be able to talk to him personally as his child. Now, what is it that God's listening from the unsaved? God is listening for their voice of repentance and inviting him to come and live within their heart. That's what he's listening for. But you and I have a special place of conversation with the Father. I would have talked to my father altogether differently than I probably would have talked with someone else. I would have talked as a son would talk to a dad, knowing that there's that family relationship there, knowing that my father has put his life on the line for us children and works day and night. And so there's that little special, unique privilege that you have there, certainly that the world does not have and never will have until they come to know Christ. But it's called prayer, if you will. And it is a sacred blessing that must never be taken lightly. It must never be taken glibly, or it must never be taken irreverently. Prayer is very serious. Now, when I get with my kids, and sometimes we get bantering back and forth, and we're kidding around, we're joking around. But we also know that there are times when it's a very serious conversation. It's a time for a very serious talk, and we come to that place sometimes, but with our Father in heaven, I don't really believe there's a time for jokingness, although I believe God has a sense of humor for the most part. But most of the time we come before the Lord, it's really serious stuff, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of serious needs in my life. Certainly as a pastor, certainly as a husband, certainly as a father, and certainly as a grandfather, there's a lot of needs, amen? When I'm counseling for married premarital counseling stuff, boy, there's a great need for knowledge and there's a great need for wisdom. And sometimes you just feel like you're so flat and unready for all these things here. And so you go to the Lord in prayer. We are a needy people, there's no doubt about it. And I'm not necessarily talking about whether we need to be driving a Ferrari or whatever those kind of very high expensive cars are for the most part there. When we can say, "Lord, I need some transportation." If God gives you a clunker that gets you from point A to point B, praise the Lord for it. Amen. If he gives you a Cadillac, then praise the Lord for that too. You may be able to praise him with a bigger smile on your face. I don't know, but you know how that goes. You will until you have to fill it up with gas and pay the insurance on it, for sure. But prayer is a wonderful thing. It's a sacred blessing. It is by this exercise that we can approach God. First of all, to find forgiveness. I'm going to give out some scriptures here tonight there. And Paul, would you mind looking up 1 John 1:9? Doug, would you look up Philippians 4, 6 through 7? Michael, would you look up Ephesians 3, 14 through 16? Chuck, how about, I've already got that one. No, Ephesians 6, 18. And Rich, would you look up Colossians 4, 2? 4, 2. And we'll get to the next page. We'll give you some more scripture. But when we approach God, God gives us a number of things in the scriptures that he has an attentive ear to. And We also know the Bible says he already knows that we have need. Now the question is whether or not we recognize those needs, or in what fashion we recognize those needs is important as well. Whether we deem them as just something we want, or is it something that we really need? Is it necessary to accomplish God's will for our lives? Or is it just some little frivolous thing that we want? But anyway, it is by this exercise that we can approach to God to find forgiveness, according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So that's the one place where we find forgiveness with God is more important than any place else. You know, if we transgress one another, then we have sinned against God as well as one another. Number two, we are able to find peace with God and peace in God. For the unsaved, if they come to God, they'll find peace in God. And as a believer, we can have peace with God. And we'll find that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Isn't that wonderful, that last verse? And it's where we find peace. What is it about prayer and bringing things before God that gives us peace? And that's what he's talking about. Read that last verse again, verse 7.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
So what is there about prayer and presenting our petitions before God that brings that kind of peace, that passes understanding? Someone who cares about you, doesn't he? Who cares about you and your burden. Amen. Absolutely. Scott. Yeah. Oh, if we could just take it to the Lord and leave it there. Like we sing the songs that take it to the Lord and leave it there. And oftentimes, though, how many times have you found yourself praying and presenting something before the Lord and saying, I'm going to trust the Lord in this, and then within a day or two, or maybe within the hour, you've taken it back. Oh, man, that's you know, you feel so bad afterwards, you realize, man, what an insult to God that is. Hey, God, I trust you, but I don't trust you. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. Doesn't work too well that way. I see another hand. So anyway, it is important. When you're praying and presenting something before God, you're trusting in who God is. You know that he understands it. And you know that he's going to answer that prayer request based on what he knows is best for you as an individual. Now, it may not be exactly what you had in mind, but it will be exactly what he had in mind. And if we know God, and we know that God loves us, that regardless of whether it's what we had in our mind or not, if God answers it, it will be what God knows is best for us. And so I can just walk away in absolute confidence that he's always going to do what's best. He will always do what's right. So we find forgiveness, we find peace with God, and we find peace in God. When I've presented something to God, I can rest in God. I can have absolute peace in God that he has heard, and he will answer, and he will answer in a way that he knows is best. But thirdly, it's to find strength through God's Spirit in Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. Holy Spirit has a very important ministry in our lives. He takes what is in the Word of God. He helps us to understand it, to make application, and he encourages us and convicts us and guides us and directs us in that same truth. And if we have a tendency to want to wander away from what we have presented to him and what we know to be a Bible principle that would cover that particular petition or that particular need, then the Holy Spirit will work with us. And he may even say, you know what, were you supposed to be so that God can answer? And sometimes he even convicts us of that even before we present the petition. And oftentimes we may not even go to the Lord. And we back on and say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I should be praying to the Lord right now. I've got a few things I got to take care of. Well, you know, you get along with the Lord, you take care of those things, and then you come and you present your petition to the Lord. Amen. So we find forgiveness when we in this exercise that we can approach to God. We find forgiveness. We find peace with God. And we also find strength through God's Spirit working within us. And then we are oftentimes exhorted as believers to be diligent in our prayer life. Diligent in our prayer life. Not waiting till the last minute to take it before the Lord. Anybody done that? You kind of exercised everything that you knew how to possibly do. And then when that all began to tumble and crumble and fall apart, then you say, I think I'm going to take it to the Lord now. And God's simply waiting there. He simply said, I've been waiting for you now the last day, week, month, 2 years, whatever, how long it's taken. Amen. But we are oftentimes exhorted as believers to be diligent. Ephesians 6:18 encourages us to be praying always with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6:18. And then in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, we are to continue in prayer and watch in the same. Now that watch is an interesting word. And it can be used in different contexts within the Greek language. But it says continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch means to give diligence. To give strict attention to. Now, first of all, when you really pray, be specific and not ambiguous. Anybody can, God bless mommy, God bless daddy. And if something wonderful happens the next day, you weren't very specific. Well, maybe daddy needs a job, or maybe daddy needs this, or mama needs this, or brother or sister needs that, one thing or another, and so on. So we need to be, first of all, specific, but we also need to give diligence, give strict attention to what we're asking for. And we'll see how that plays out here in a little bit. So continue in prayer, watch in the same, not to see if God's going to answer it or not, but look at how God's working within that. How many times have you asked God for something and you look back on it and you say, oh, wow, I didn't realize that God answered that prayer. Well, if we're specific and God answers that, then we can also give testimony. That may be an encouragement to someone who has been asking the Lord, presenting a petition before the Lord, and they've been wondering, okay, you know, it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, nothing's happened, and somebody turned around and say, well, you know, I prayed for my husband, or I prayed for my wife for X number of years before they finally came to know Christ. There was a lot of troubled years and a lot of troubled waters under the bridge, but boy, you know, finally one day God answered that prayer. It may have been 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years, but nonetheless, someone else is encouraged who maybe it's just only been a couple of weeks or a couple of months or maybe a couple of years to realize that, okay, I just can't throw in the towel today because God didn't act immediately right away. And so we have to watch, give diligence to, give strict attention to. But there's another parameter to that, which I hope we'll get to before the night is over. But first, Clark, would you look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? And we'll give out some more here in just a minute. We get to the next point. But we're told to do something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And ask yourself tonight, how is that possible? How does that play out in real life? How would I exercise that? Because the best prayer time is when? When you're alone with the Lord. Without being distracted. Hopefully not falling asleep. But time when you're at your peak, you're perky, or you've got maybe a gallon of caffeine under the belt there somewhere, you might be able to do that. But Clark, 2 Thessalonians 5:17. First Thessalonians 5:17. That's okay. I confused everybody. So pray without ceasing. That's in the imperative. So it's important that we pray without ceasing. How would that play out in one's life? Because let's face it, how many of us in here can say, yeah, oh, that's me. My mind is tuned into God 24/7. How would that look, you know, pray without ceasing?
The model walk.
Huh?
The model walk with the Lord.
Yeah, walking with the Lord. It has to do with the mindset more than anything else. And you know what? There's a lot of times throughout the day that you can find yourself being able to pray. to lift up names or to think about something. If you wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, you can look at the clock and say, oh man, I got to go to work at 5 o'clock and I got to back to sleep. I got to get, or you could just simply start praying. You can pray when you're awake in the middle of the night or during your lunch hour or while you're sitting at your desk and doing something mindless that you can say, okay, Lord, I'm thinking of so-and-so is having a test today. So-and-so is having surgery today. Or you could be lifting up the ministry or your family, your husband at work, your wife at work. There's a bazillion things that you can be doing all day long and just constantly having a mind that's really tuned into God. If an ambulance goes by your house and the siren's going, the lights are blinking, you can just say, oh, that stupid noise. Oh, I can't stand that noise. It's irritating me. I'm watching my favorite TV. Or you could say, you know what, Lord, I have no idea where they're going. But, Lord, they're putting their lives on the line by rushing to meet the needs of these people here. And so, Lord, keep them safe as they journey. And, Lord, I have no idea where they're going to go, what the emergency is there. But, Lord, you know what it is. And, Lord, just pray that you'll have your way and that you'll work wonderfully and marvelously there. Or when a police officer goes speeding by, you know, Lord, keep him safe. He's serving the public. And so these are ways that we can just offer up prayers. They don't have to be long, elaborate. They can just be simple little prayers along the way. Amen. Now, prayer isn't always about, well, God, I have this date. And that was, of course, as a mom with homes, anyway, you know what that is all about. Lord, I need some wisdom to give them counsel. I need some wisdom to help them understand. Lord, I just need your mindset right at this point in time. But how about when you're driving along, you just have to be thinking about the Lord, just thinking about him personally, just simply saying, you know, Lord, I love you. Lord, just thank you for your safety through yesterday. And Lord, thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. And just, you know, prayer can be just loving up on the Lord. Amen. Send him a love note. Send him a love prayer, if you will. But just telling him how much you appreciate him, how much you love him, and appreciate his convicting you, even when it may not be convenient to be convicted, or to chasten you, it may not be desirable to be so. But, Lord, thank you for loving me enough. Lord, thank you for caring enough to chasten me when I begin to wander along the way. So it's all important here. So, and as Christ knew, and as many of us have found out from personal experience, that we easily become slack in our prayer life. Now, I'm not indicating that Jesus was ever slack in his prayer life, but he understood human nature. And I'm sure he knew from his own walk among his own people, the religious leaders here, along with his own disciples. Let's face it, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them to what? When he went into he left so many disciples there at the gate. He took Peter, James, and John a little further into the garden with him. Then he went even a little bit further beyond them. But before he went further in there, he asked them to do something. He asked them to do two things. Watch and pray. So all he asked them to do was to watch and pray. You know what? Maybe they started to pray. Like some of you and I may go to bed at nighttime, start praying, and next thing you know, it's the alarm's going off first thing in the morning. You say, okay, what happened to my prayer time there? But you get the point and the idea, and that is that they didn't watch and they didn't pray for very long. And I'm sure that maybe it was the heat of the day or the ministry of the day or the worries of the day, the concerns, whatever it is, and they just became extremely fatigued. But we have to understand that Christ understood that you and I would, as well as did God, from knowing the human heart, that we easily become slack in our prayer lives. And so, hence the need to persist in prayer. We need to be persistent in our prayer. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And he gives a parable there of a judge in a city, which didn't really fear God and didn't have much regard to men for one thing or another. But there was a woman who had a petition and the judge just kind of kept dismissing it. But she kept after him and kept after him, kept after him, kept after him, until finally he gave in and heard the case and dealt with it. Now, we're not simply saying here, badger God. The idea is that be persistent in your prayer life. Don't let it slip today and then make it another month before you actually come before the Lord and so on. In your prayer time, you have loved ones that you want to see saved, lift them up before the Lord continually. And as often as you come into the time of prayer and as often as they come to your mind and they come to your heart, bring them up before the Lord. But the idea is not to badger God. If God said no, when it comes right down to it, if God said no, then he has a reason for saying no and accept that answer. So we try to be an encouragement. So we need to try to be an encouragement to pick up our prayer life if it has somehow waned. If it hasn't waned, maybe we just need to kick it up a notch or two if it is in danger of waning, because we do become very busy, don't we? And if you're not a morning person, you kind of get up in the morning and you're sluggish when you first get started and get your motor running for the first thing in the morning. And it may be a little while before the day gets underway before you actually have. Now, sometimes as parents, the kids, up really early in the morning, you may have to have a nap time for the kids or a lunchtime when they're to have a quiet time so you can have some quiet time along the way. But you can always find some place where you can get that quiet time. I know that my mom, with 9 children, she would get up at 4 in the morning. My dad worked shift work, so there could be all kinds of schedules, but she knew that she'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, no matter where my dad was, whether he was in bed, asleep, or wherever it might have been, at 4. Not too many people in my house were up at 4 in the morning, I'll tell you that. My mom was up, and if you happened to wake up, it wouldn't be uncommon on good weather to be able to look out the window and on the front lawn, there'd be mom with a Bible or notebook and a lawn chair, and she'd be out there in the quiet still of the morning, and she'd love to be alone with the Lord. And you know, when you're raising 9 kids, you need a lot of time with the Lord. Amen. A whole bunch of time. So the idea is we need to be persistent in our prayer life. First, basic principles, what we're going to be looking at, basic principles from the Word of God concerning prayer. And then when we finish this little section here, we'll also deal with suggestions concerning the practice of prayer as well. So maybe think about your prayer life. Some of the blessings that your prayer life has been along with the Lord, maybe how you have achieved being able to eke out some time here and some time there along the way, and we'll maybe have an opportunity through this little mini-series here on this closer walk with God to be able to deal with some of those things. But first and foremost here tonight, very quickly, what are the characteristics of acceptable prayer? I don't know if we ever stop to think, am I acceptable to God in my prayer life? Is my own personal life acceptable to God so that I can come into the presence of His holiness and feel comfortable to know that I have peace with God or the peace of God on my life? So while it may seem obvious to some, it may not be to others, but faith is the mode in which prayer is given. We come to God in faith, believing. This is not really a trial and error to see if God really is there, if God even really cares or not. We either come by faith knowing that He does care because He said He cares and that He will answer, and He will answer what He knows to be best for us. And so, Scott, would you look up Matthew 21:22? Brother Jim, if you would look up James chapter 1 and verse 5, and we'll actually spend some time. The rest of us, I'd like to go to James chapter 4. And this is really an important aspect of coming to the Lord in prayer. So, we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Right. Now, this was concerning what incident in the New Testament? This had to do with the fig tree. When Jesus came to the fig tree looking for fruit, there wasn't any fruit on the tree, he cursed the tree, didn't he? He didn't swear, wasn't vulgar. He just basically said anathema to the tree. What is the lesson from the tree? First of all, he came to the tree expecting fruit, but there wasn't any fruit there. So he was very disappointed. Now, did he act rashly? No, but there was an important lesson. It was an object lesson for the disciples. That he spoke to the tree, condemned the tree for bearing fruit. Now, it's interesting. It was at a time when the tree would not have been bearing fruit, but it presented itself as though it had, or was at that point to present fruit. And that's the important aspect of that little encounter that they had there. And so he came to the tree, showing itself falsely so that it was ready to bear some figs. It wasn't because he was hungry, because he wanted it, but because the fig tree was sending forth a false message, if you will. And so he said that as they were, how do I say this? They were surprised by the fact that within minutes, the tree began to wither, literally. And it was an object lesson about if they have the faith, they can accomplish great things. Now, we don't need to go around ruining people's apple orchards or fig trees or date trees or anything like that. But the lesson in the practical aspect is that if we come to God in faith, believing, things will begin to move and take place in our lives. This sounds like almost like a carte blanche offer. And the question is it really a carte blanche offer? That whatsoever we ask, God's just going to give it to us? Or is there more to it? If not, why is it not a carte blanche? Okay, that's an important aspect, his will. All right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else? So, Timmy. Yeah. Yeah. And the timing could be off. Yeah, and the timing could be off. Absolutely. So we may want something today. The Lord says you don't need it today. You may need it tomorrow. You may need it next year when it comes down to it. So, but both of those are right. It's what I would call the two W's, the want to and the will are two very, and we'll see that here played out in a little bit. So considering James chapter 1 and verse 5, how important is wisdom in prayer? So James 1 verse 5. So how important is wisdom in our prayer life? I don't even know if we even thought about it or if we even made the connection. How important is the kind of wisdom that God wants us to have? How important is that to the character and the nature of our prayer life? Kind of goes back to what Tammy said, really, about wants and needs. Wants and needs. Goes back to what Brianna said, wants and needs versus God's will. Is it a want necessary to accomplishing God's will for my life? Or is it a need that's necessary for the accomplishment of my life? The Apostle Paul had a want to, and he thought it was a need as well. Remember when he besought the Lord for the thorn in his flesh? The Bible says he besought the Lord thrice to have this thing removed. Because Paul felt that it would make him a more capable minister. He thought he could be more effective. And so he said, Lord, if we can get rid of this thorn, it might have been a source of embarrassment to himself. We have no idea what that thorn is, and there's a reason for that. And the reason that we don't know what the thorn is, so that any one of us could identify with whatever the weakness in our life may be, and saying, listen, we're making excuses for this weakness, and we have no reason for that. We need to give this weakness to God and allow God to strengthen us and to embolden us and use us. Because God can even use that weakness in a positive way. Amen? He can do that. Clark? Johnny Erickson, ta-da. Yeah. Well, she didn't in the beginning. She tells you, she'll tell you right up front that she was pretty angry at God. I mean, as a young teenager, you'd be angry too at first. And it's not like, I don't know if any one of us, even if we have walked with the Lord for 5 or 10 years, could turn around and have the same thing happen to us and really begin to question God why. And then be able to turn your life over. But praise God, she took that and she did turn it over to him. And let him do things that she never possibly could have imagined. No doubt about that. But anyway, he besought the Lord thrice, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. In other words, you don't worry about your thorn. I'll take care of whatever effectiveness you think you need. And I will bring you to those people who will respond accordingly, one way or the other. And so it's important for us to understand that wisdom is very, very important. And it would probably say, Lord, I need some wisdom to how to pray about this situation. I need wisdom to pray about my children. I need wisdom to pray about one thing or another. Do I take this job? Do I take this move? Do I do what? Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. And so wisdom, there, the word wisdom that's used in James chapter 1 and verse 5 means it's a broad and full of intelligence or knowledge. So it's a broad biblical understanding of how God works and how God functions. And the only way you're going to find that out is by two ways. Number one, being in the Word of God and letting the Word of God direct you in your life. That's how you're going to learn about God. As you learn about God, you say, Lord, I also need wisdom about a number of different things. So it's a broad and full, full of intelligence or knowledge. Now, how does James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I'm probably going to close with this here, but how does James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 teach us about our flesh's influence upon our prayer life or how we view the purpose of prayer? You know, our flesh really, it gets in the way a lot of times. Amen? But look at this. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because what? Ye ask amiss that ye may what? Consume it upon your lust. That lust, that's your flesh. So that's why we need wisdom in how to pray. And we do need to be specific, obviously. That way we know when God has answered, as I said, trying not to be ambiguous, but to be very specific in our prayer life. Not that God doesn't understand the specificity. You know what I'm trying to say? what we're asking for. But he wants to know, do you understand? Do you have a handle on it? Are you able to grasp this at this level? And not that he's going to, but he wants us to come into a fuller understanding. And he wants to give us that wisdom and that discernment. Lord, help me to have a better understanding of why I see this as a need. And Lord, help me to understand how you're about to answer that need. But he says there, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Then he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not. And he's talking about being spiritual there, spiritual adultery. So on, he said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if you tend to have a tendency to be a carnal, worldly Christian, you're going to ask naturally amiss. Whereas opposed to if you're walking where you should be spiritually with God, you're going to be mindful, Lord, I need to understand how this is important in my life. Or, Lord, how are you going to answer this? And so on, and then give God time to work on that. So that's how we see the influence of the flesh. So if our faith is weak, how do we strengthen our faith so that we can have power and purpose in our prayer time? So there's only one way. That's not just one way. But there is a very direct Bible verse that tells us how we can strengthen our faith. The book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's how we strengthen our faith, by being in the Word of God. Seeing what God has done, understanding God's promises, understand the basis upon which God answers our prayer, and we begin to connect these dots and to bring our lives into the right place where they're supposed to be. It's amazing what we can accomplish on our knees. And we're not getting much done on our knees because, quite frankly, we have to ask ourselves, where is my life? What's going on in my life? Where is God? Is he at the center of my life? Is he on the throne of my life? Or is he just one of those things that orbits around all the other things in my schedule on a regular basis? That's not a good way to get a lot of prayers answered, when God's just out there somewhere and you just kind of drag him down because you have a need, and then put him back out in space up there somewhere. Amen? So we'll pick up with this point again, the Lord willing, next week, and try to cover a little bit more. But we really do have to get a good handle on these things if we're going to really have any success in our prayer life and our walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Any questions before we... as I said, let me challenge you to, as I said before, maybe share some things eventually as we kind of go through this. Kind of keep in the back of your mind, write them down somewhere, keep them in your Bible, and we'll entertain some of these ideas, how you have found your prayer life to be successful based on the time or whatever's going on in your life, how you've handled it along the way. That might be an encouragement to one another. Amen? All right, Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together. And Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, this opportunity that we have as believers throughout the entire day. Lord, whether in trouble or out of trouble, Lord, whether we're relaxing or, Lord, whether we're busy about things, Lord, we can be mindful of who we are, mindful of your presence, mindful of your love, mindful of your desire to guide us and to direct us in all of our decision-making and our choices throughout the day. And Father, may we be mindful. Lord, may we begin to walk that kind of walk. I believe that's the kind of walk that Enoch had and the kind of walk that Noah had. I'm sure that in the nature and the character of their day, Lord, there probably wasn't a minute that went by that they didn't come to your throne looking for strength. Lord, looking for courage, looking for boldness, looking for answers. Lord, praying for those who were being mockers and scoffers, knowing that the terrible judgment that was coming their way. And Father, may we also be mindful that we're in a world of sin. We're in a world of predominant sinners. And Lord, we need to be mindful, even in just passing, just offering a prayer, say, Lord, this person probably needs you, and we're praying for him. Lord, help us to be mindful of these things. We'll give you that praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.